'cause you see I'm a dinosaur. I should have died out a long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. 251-340-1060. If you'd like to respond, anything we are discussing. So come on a program from the Federalist, Eddie Scarry. That's in about an hour. Show regular Paul DeMarco in the 11 o'clock hour, as well as Dale Jackson, our usual Monday guest from WVNN, all that and more. Your text, your calls, 251-340-1060. Hit us up on the text line. That works really well. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He's just the majority leader in the Alabama House of Representatives. Nathaniel Ledbetter on with us. Leader, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning, Jeff?
Doing well, doing well. So as we are about to embark on a special session, I assume you're very very involved in these discussions about reapportionment and whatnot. How do you feel today?
Well, I think we've got a lot of work still to do. I mean, it's we got the numbers back late from the federal government, and that kind of put us behind the eight ball. And I think there's been a lot of work going on, and there's still a lot to be done.
Well, how much did that sit y'all back? I mean, to be honest, I wasn't paying as close attention in 2010 to this whole process, but getting the data back late and having to put everything in motion and figure it out, like how much of a hurdle was that?
Well, it's a pretty good hurdle. I mean, if you think about it, because parts of the state has tremendous growth in it. And then we've got parts of the state has lost a tremendous number of folks. So it really makes it more difficult trying to equal out the districts to where they're within a 5% variation. So, I mean, that has been some of the toughest thing, because you've seen it's not just the growth, it's the amount of growth. And it's not just the loss of population, it's the amount of population. We've seen some loss in rural Alabama, and of course some of the metropolitan areas being Madison County, Baldwin County have seen a tremendous growth. So Lee County has seen tremendous growth. I mean, Shelby, I mean, there's a lot of counties that has growth. Then you got maybe Washington County has had a tremendous loss of population. So that makes it more difficult, I think, for the committee and the people that's involved.
And it's always a controversial process. It's political, and there's anything your members probably really are worried about. It's how their lines are going to be drawn. I guess the question on that is, though, do you feel like most of the membership, not everybody is going to be absolutely 100% happy, but they're generally satisfied with the way the process is going?
Yeah, it's tough because there's so much change in some of the areas. And I think at the end of the day, I think it's a process of where I know some of the members has been to the reapportionment office a couple of different times. And it seems like each time they get closer to where they would like to be. And I do think the process works. You just got to be patient with it. And sometimes it's when you don't have your lines, or maybe don't be in the district that you like to be like. I mean, it's hard to be patient, but at the same time, I think the process, as you go through it, kind of works itself out. It seems to be doing that to me.
And the public will start getting maps and stuff, I assume, right around the time that you guys gavel in the next week.
Yeah, I think that's so. To put anything out now is premature, because there's still some changes going on. And, if you put something out now and people see it and they think that's how it's going to be, and then when it comes back, it's changed differently. And I think it's confusing to the public, and sometimes can be confusing to the people that's involved when we don't have something in concrete. So, I think, but once we get to that point, you'll see some public maps.
And kind of loosely tied to a lot of this is what 2022 might look like. Obviously, I don't think it's any secret it's probably going to be a good Republican year just because of what's going on the federal level. I know you pay close attention to the legislative races. It looks like you got a, you know, you got a few retirements here and there, but what's your outlook on this next election cycle? That do you feel good, A, about the incumbents getting reelected, and B, some of the candidates that might be running for some of these vacancies?
Yeah, I do. I mean, this is the second election cycle I've been involved in with our members as majority leader. And, you know, we've got a lot of good members retiring. I mean, we've got some folks with a lot of seniority that has chosen not to run. And I think, you know, we're all the time looking for people that's interested, that comes to you or maybe interested in running. And well, I think we got some good folks to fill those voids. But, you know, when you lose people that's been here for a while and lose some of that institutional knowledge, it does affect the process. But I feel good about some members that is what I think will become members that's stepping up. And you certainly got some in the area down there. We hate to see some of those folks retiring that's retiring, but I think there is some very capable people that's going to try to fill that void. And that's the way across the state. I mean, we've got some places that we're going to see new members for the first time in many, many years. So they've got some big shoes to fill. And certainly in Tuscaloosa, Chairman Poole taking the finance director. And I think we've got a very good member down there that will be taking his place. And Cynthia Allman, and she's going to be, I think, an extremely good member. She's served on the council down there, I think, for like 12 years and was the president of the council in Tuscaloosa. And has a lot of institutional knowledge about government. So, I mean, we got people like that all across the state. The mayor of Tuscumbia up in the Shoals, and of course, Donna Givens down in y'all's area around with Francis Hole. I mean, there's just a lot of strong people, I think, running, a lot of good business background, a lot of government background. So we'll see how everything goes. Feel good about our incumbents. I think our incumbents have done a really good job. I mean, we've had some very positive things happen in the last 4 years, and I think they're going to be working hard, and we're certainly trying to help them with the fundraising and doing things we didn't have them be successful.
Yeah, I think a relatively young, you know, group overall, let's say, because you had so much turnover, a lot of new faces in this with this quadrennium. But you're not expecting anything along those lines with any kind of significant turnover, are you?
Well, actually, I think we will have. I think we could see as many as maybe 20 new members, and that's about what we wound up with last time. So that's you're talking pretty significant turnover. But you know, we really got some really good members in last time, and it really filled in some leadership for the caucus and for the body. And I suspect that that'll happen again this time. Certainly, I think we've got some people in that is running that's very capable.
Joined by a majority leader, Nathaniel Ledbetter. Always great to get him on, and he's always very accommodating whenever we put out the invitation. Leader, tell us this. The special session, a lot of speculation that we might see something in the call or added into the call, or if it's not in the call, that maybe the legislature takes it upon themselves, particularly dealing with federal government vaccine mandate and having something, some kind of response, whatever that might be. Do you foresee that as a possibility?
I don't know. We had a call with the governor's staff last week. We'll have another one today, and we'll see. I know the Texas governor come out with something that kind of pushes back on overreach from the federal government, and I can certainly understand it. You know, I think we have been a very pro-business body, and I think the caucus for sure has been. And, you know, we don't want any federal mandates to override where it affects their business, just like we don't want any state mandates. I mean, you know, I know there's some bills out there that's been talked about, and certainly something that I think some of the members are just wanting to get attention to the fact that they don't want the federal overreach and trying to come up with a resolve for that. I mean, it's very unfair for businesses. I think, listen, I'm for the vaccine. I've been vaccinated. I think, you know, it's proven to work. But if people don't want to get vaccinated, I don't think we should force them into it. And I certainly don't think that the federal government should do a mandate that's going to penalize their employer by fine them several thousand dollars because they got employees that's working for them that's not vaccinated, especially in today's environment, because all the federal programs that's out there where they're sending out money, you know, it's harder and harder to find people to go to work and get to work now. And now they're going to do something like this. I think it just hurts our economy. And, you know, as you know, before the pandemic, Alabama's economy was moving at a pace that I'd never seen in my lifetime. And to have the federal government to really slow it down behind the pandemic, which we numbers seem to be getting much better. So to slow down the economy by putting mandates on businesses in our state, I think is just ridiculous.
Does that enter into the, you know, you have some very, very capable, smart people that can make these projections about what the, your budgets, your tax receipts are going to look like. If the economy starts to kind of get sideways because of the federal government, because of supply chain issues, or any other kind of federal policy, I mean, is that something on the minds of you guys at the state level?
Well, I think it always is. I think when you look at the federal level and some of the things that's happening, I think we've got to be prepared. I know, you know, we got very good budgets now. We're blessed. I mean, we're one of the few states in the Southeast or in the country that's not furloughing teachers or are not having to cut back because of our, you know, we're being conservative in our budgeting. And these two budgets we'll see come out is certainly no exception to that. They're going to be very strong. And I talked to one of our budget chairs this last week. I said, you know, the thing we've got to be very cautious of, Jeff, is the fact that, you know, just because we got good budgets today, a lot of that's got to do with the amount of federal money that's been dumped into our state that has drove those numbers up. It's not going to be there next year. And secondly, with supply chain that you're speaking of and some of the things that's going on and we're seeing around us, inflation being one of them. I mean, you know, and just as a simple economy, you can't be giving away as much money without something to back it up. And I see that, you know, I can see if inflation continue to grow until something changes. And I don't see that change. So I think we got to be very cognizant of that and be aware that, you know, just because the budgets are good today, we better be conservative. So if it does go sideways, we're ready and can handle down the road 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, or our state than getting in a financial hardship.
I mean, that was kind of the blessing this time around. You didn't know what to expect going and coming out of, I guess, the 2020 session because of COVID, but it seemed like things just kind of kept going. And the economy is very good in 2019, and that was able to – you're able to do a lot more with state government, record education budgets, teacher pay raises. You even got a little bit extra to spend on prisons. I mean, is it typical for you guys at the state level to kind of have very conservative, work with very conservative projections when it comes to looking at what you expect to be dealing with when you do the budgets in the future?
I'd say it's probably not typical. But I will say, you know, I give credit to our caucus and to the Senate, too, and to the governor. It has been typical with this leadership. And I think we'll see that going forward because they're very mindful that the budget's numbers are inflated based on federal money that's been pumped into our state. And so I think knowing that, going into it, and being prepared to have a conservative budget. And some people are going to say, well, why don't you go ahead? You know, you got to act. I've heard already that you're going to have billion extra dollars that, you know, you may have an education trust fund. Why don't you spend it on this or that? My thing is, I think we got to be very conservative, make sure we get the money where it needs to go that can help the most, put money back. So in 2 years, when they come back and we do have some issues with our budget, we've got some money to fall back on that we don't have to do anything drastic or make cuts or furloughs to our teachers. And then as far as the education budget or the general fund budget to employees so that we can continue to maintain what we're doing. I think that's so important.
Finally, we're a few weeks removed from the prison special session. Now that that's all said and done and we're sitting here today, has there been anything given to you, at least with dealing with the federal money there, that COVID money, being used toward prisons. Have you got any indication from the Biden administration or Treasury Department that that's going to be okay? Or have you gotten to the opposite, that it's not going to be okay? Or are we still kind of in that same, we feel good about where we are place?
Well, the thing about it is, you know, our folks have certainly, I think, done a really good job working with Treasury and trying to figure out what we can and can't do. And they had a pretty good indication, or we wouldn't have went down that road. And, you know, the thing about it is the money that we've been given, part of it is for lost revenue. So they calculate how much each state would have made if not been for COVID and the pandemic. So they backfill that with federal dollars. And, of course, it's money that goes into the general fund. So when it goes, you know, you can spend it for whatever you want to spend it on. And for people to come out and say, well, you can't use it on prisons, well, that's not how it was set up. It was set up that the state could use it how they seem fit to use it. And because they would have gotten that money more than likely if it hadn't been for the pandemic. So I feel good about it. I feel like that, you know, we've saved the taxpayer, as you know, millions of dollars. It's also given us an opportunity, the money that we had set aside for the prison lease, to keep doing that. And that way we can do a pay as you go on some of the rehabs for the prisons. And you and I talked about that earlier, and that's kind of the way it shaped up and fell out. So I feel like, you know, we have fixed a decades old problem and have been able to solve it without putting as big a burden on the taxpayers. And I think that's our ultimate goal. I mean, I think that's what we're put in office to do.
Leader, you've been very kind this morning. We appreciate your time, and I guess best of luck going forward there with this special session.
Well, it's going to be one of interest, and you know, I like to get it behind us because everybody likes to know what district's lines are, where they're going to be, and it affects so many people. And it's not just the legislative districts, you know, it's the congressional districts and state school board districts. So we'll see how it goes over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll come out with a good resolve. But I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be on, Jeff.
Thanks for coming on, especially on short notice. Nathaniel Ledbetter, State House Majority Leader, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Port Show on FM Talk 106.5. Whispers to